You are listening to BensTorah.com.
I want to explain the rationale given by Chazal, Teresh Lopet, Teresh Shiviksav, even in Kabbalistic literature, of the importance of at least visiting Eretzrel, let alone living there on a permanent basis or semi-permanent basis. What is this based upon? Was the reason that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to live in Eretzrel after all? There's so many established Torah communities around the world. The people are thriving and flourishing when it comes to the Torah and mitzvahs. What makes Eretzrel such a special location that Hashem gave us a mitzvah in the Torah for us, if we can, to not only inherit Eretzrel, but to dwell therein, to establish a Jewish nation over there? There's an official pasuk that's contained in Parshas Maaseh, Harashtem es aretz v'yashavtem bo, we should inherit Eretz Israel, and after that the Torah says, after we inherit it and own it, yashavtem bo, we should dwell there, ki lachem l'satis aretz l'reshah, so Hashem gave it to us as our yerush, as an inheritance, as our heritage. So could obviously, the Rebbein Hashem desired that Klal Yisrael ultimately should settle in Eretzrel and make it a Jewish homeland. This was the aspiration of the Jews at the time of Hugh to capture Eretzrel and to dwell therein. This was the aspiration, that was by Yisrishon, the aspiration of the Jews who came out of Persia and wanted to establish the Beis HaMikdash by Yesheni, the second temple commonwealth. And this is the Kavana of the Jews who for many, many years, from the time of the Rishonim to the present, have tried to once again return to Eretz Israel and to rebuild Eretz Israel. And Baruch Hashem, we see from the 1700s and the 1800s and the 1900s, and then we get into the 2000 years of the world's existence when it comes to the concept of modern time, we see that especially from the Tekufa of 1947-1948, when there was a declaration of the establishment of the state of Eretz Israel, the amounts of millions of people that have made Aliyah, that have been born there, that are learning there, that are literally thriving there, 75 years, Baruch Hashem. So I want to explain to you the reasons Chazal felt that ultimately one of the major phenomena of the Messianic era of the coming of the Mashiach, and one of the major jobs of Mashiachus, as described by the Rambam in the Halachas of Hilchos Malachim, is the mitzvah Kibbutz Galuyos, to bring the Jews back from around the world and once again to reestablish the existence of the Yud Beis Shvatim living in Eretz Israel and the respective areas given to them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as was mentioned in the Torah itself. So I want to start off with the Baalei Taisus. The Baalei Taisus, the French and German Baalei Taisus, when they discussed the mitzvah of living in Eretz Israel, they mentioned a Gemara in Masechtas Sota. And the Gemara deals with a very interesting topic. Why is it after Hashem told Moshe, for whatever reason, that you're not going to be able to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Israel, you're going to be buried right outside Eretz Israel, and Yeshua is going to bring them in, why did Moshe go out of his way to pray, according to Midrashi Chazal, over 515 tefillos to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to at least allow to enter Eretz Yisrael momentarily before he finishes his job on the face of this earth and goes to the next world? What was the reason? So the Gemara says it wasn't because he wanted to taste the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael of Davash. What he wanted to do is do one activity that he aspired to accomplish during his lifetime. And that is, since we know Moshe Tzivu Torah Moshe was the one who taught the Torah and learned each and every day with the Jewish people the Torah for over 40 years in the Midbar, daily shir of all of the Tayag mitzvahs. Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shalom, I taught the Jews every one of the Tayag mitzvahs contained in the Torah. The majority of the mitzvahs are mitzvahs that you can do universally, no matter where you live in this world. But there are many mitzvahs that could only be makuyim in Eretz Yisrael. These are called mitzvahs hatuluyus be'Eretz Yisrael. At least in my lifetime, since I was the mitzava of the Torah, Torah Yitzivah Lana Moshe, but since I taught them all the mitzvahs, at least allowed me before I leave this world to makayim all the tayag mitzvahs I'm able to do by entering Eretz Yisrael and taking care of those mitzvahs that are tuluyus be'Eretz Yisrael, before I leave this world and go to Olam HaEmes, until I go to Olam HaBa, when I taught, I want to show I'm not Darush and I'm a Kayim. Not only do I teach it, but I want to observe it. And then I'm willing to leave and go to my next life and the world to come in Olam HaBa. So from this specific narrative in the Gemara, the Rishonim come up with a conclusion. That one of the major reasons for Jews to live in Eretz Yisrael is that if they have an aspiration to mekayim all of the tayag mitzvahs, they in their own person can observe when it comes to them being a Kohen Levi Yisrael, and each one has a certain group of mitzvahs that they can do that the other groups cannot do, but from able to observe all the mitzvahs that each group can do possibly, the only place on the face of the earth that this is possible is in the confines of the land of Eretz Yisrael. And if that's the case, that was Moshe's aspiration. And according, therefore, to the Bali Tesis, our aspiration to want to live in Eretz Yisrael and be there is to mekayim all the mitzvahs hatluyos be'Eretz Yisrael that depend upon living in Eretz Yisrahel, which we cannot perform these mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz. That should be a motivating reason for us to want to live there, to be there momentarily or permanently, to mekayim all the mitzvahs I possibly can during my lifetime, modeling ourselves after the request of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the way it's presented by Chazal for the reason of Moshe's tefillah and the reason that Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, and that is the ability to kind of mitzvahs hatulios be'Eretz. That's, I would say, this simplistic pshat mentioned by the Gemara and emphasized by many French, German, Balei Tosfos, the Chizkuni, where the Mefarshei HaRashi says this explicitly, and has perished what happened in Pashas Veskanan. And that is what I would say level number one. A why the Rebbe Hashem wants us to live there. I think every Rishon on the face of this earth will admit to the fact that this is the reason, number one, for Hashem wanting us to live in Eretz Yisrael. In historical period of time, there were people during the Rishonic era that wanted to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and supposedly there were boats of Balei Tosfos who picked themselves up and wanted to make Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. As the story goes, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they realized they had a difficulty of being mekayem mitzvos hatluyos be'Eretz Yisrael because there was tremendous animosity generated towards them by the non-Jews who were living there. They made their life there inhospitable. They didn't allow them to buy lands, own lands, to be able to mekayim mitzvos, but obviously of tumas and maisos, and the concepts of peya, the concepts of lecha d'shicha, shmita, they just were not allowed to be involved in owning land and being able to perform these mitzvos. In fact, there was a book written of halachas and mitzvos of sefer truma, written by the Rishonim in order to teach them what the halachas are of Eretz Yisrael, so they should be halachically expert in them before they even came to Eretz Yisrael to know what to do. But nevertheless, because it seems that tremendous financial hardships and tremendous sakana because of the people living there at that point in time who were hostile to them, many of them were not able to remain there. They weren't able to establish the communities they wanted and the farms they wanted. Many of them returned because of the incapacity to mekayim extra mitzvahs hatluyos be'Eretz Yisrael at that point in time. There's even a sheet of Rav Chaim HaKoy mentioned in the Taisis and Ksubis and Dav Kuf Yud, who says that when it's a sakanas adarachim, a sakana for you to go to Eretz Israel, and you came kind of missing police for Israel anyway, and at that time missing Yish of Eretz Israel, living there doesn't apply. That was his sheet of Sayachit. He articulated this. Most other Rishinim basically rejected that specific hypothesis. But there's no question he did articulate it. It is a thesis. If that thesis is not brought down halach l'masa by any of the major peskim, Shulchan Aruch ad hayom hazeh. But there was such a shita. There was such a shita. However, what I want to expose you to today is another hashkafa. Level number two. Why the Rabbi Lishon wanted us to live in Eretz Israel. And the one who made the biggest and most articulate and expansive interpretation of this next reason is none other than the Ramban, Nachmanides, who had tremendous avos Eretz Israel, as you see, emanating from all the svarim that he wrote on Tevel Shebaal Peh and Tevel Shebiksav, just looking at the Chumash Perish alone. And you will see very specifically the Ramban is very, very major in his pushing for Jews to make aliyah in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban himself, when he left Spain as the Gadol Hadar, his life was at stake. He ultimately filled the dream of his life in 1267 to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael and spent the rest of his life there until his end, trying to rebuild the land. He built a basic Knesset. He tried to rebuild the Yishuv and could obviously to teach Torah, finished his halachic and hashkafic works, his pirushim there, and is buried in Eretz Yisrael. As he who died there at the end of his life. The Ramban says, what is the reason Hashem wants us to live in Eretz Israel? So ultimately, the pasuk that's quoted to accentuate the opinion is the pasuk in Parshas Ekev. And the pasuk reads, very fascinating pasuk. The pasuk reads, and I'll tell you where to look it up yourselves when you're interested in looking it up. He says over here in Perek, Yud Aleph, in Sefer Devarim, which is Parshas Ekev, after Shishi, in Pasuk Yud Aleph on, the following, Ha'aretz Ashetem Ogrim Shama L'Rishta, you should realize the land you're going into inherit now is made of Hagam because has mountains, has valleys, the Matashan Tishtamayim, Hashem makes sure that there's rainfall continuously to take care of the agricultural needs of the land. And then the Torah says, Eretz Asha Hashem Elokech Dorish Oisa, Eretz Israel has a special Drisha, divine concern shown by Hashem when it comes to what's going on in Eretz Israel, Tamid on a continual basis. Ainah Hashem Elokechu Bo, the eyes of God are geared there. May Reishis Hashem Elachus Hashanah, from the beginning of the year to all the way to the end of the year. That there seems to be a special divine providence, a special Hashgacha Pratis that the Rabbeinu Lishlam has for Eretz Israel. This goes back to the time of Briyas Olam, Chazal tell us, and therefore that specific Hashlacha Pratis, divine providence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the land of Eretz Israel is a very special kesher that Hashem has to the land of Eretz Israel in a very unique fashion, more than any part of the other land tracts on the face of the earth, and more than any other types of planets, constellations, or other stuff that's contained in the universe around us. The Rabbeinu Shankar obviously has tremendous concern of what's going on in Eretz Israel. And in fact, Rashi comments over there that once he analyzed the needs of Eretz Israel when it comes to what it needs on a physical level, he then allows the rest of the world, our earth and the rest of the universe, to benefit from those added benefits he gives to the world in the schus of Eretz Israel itself. Very fascinating Rashi in the Perish of that specific pasuk. Now what's interesting and what is fascinating is that when you look very carefully about the Hashgacha Pratis that Rashi referred to, Rashi and Akev seems to be talking about the Gashmias, the physical needs that Eretz has in order to support its population, to support Klal Yisrael. And once Klal Yisrael and Eretz have their apportionment of Hashem's divine providence taking care of them, the rest of the world is mushbe from our bracha, and they have a part of that specific bracha as well. That is why Chazal tell us that we had a Beis Hamikdash during the Yom Tov Sukkos. We brought Shivim Parim, relating to trying to solicit Parnasa Toiva for not only ourselves, but for all the nations on the face of this earth. They shall have Parnasa Toiva, the Avoda of Yom Kippurim and Karbanos, was to benefit the international community, not only to benefit the national community of Klal Yisrael. And the Shivim Parim were corresponded to the 70 nations that lived on the face of the earth at that point in time, each part representing a different nation. So we therefore see that the concept of being concerned with the panasa of the entire world, the resources of the entire world, were a concern only of the Rabbeinu Shalom, but a concern of Klal Yisrael, the Am HaNivchar. And we did Avedis in the Beis Hamikdash to try to facilitate this as well. What I do find fascinating is that in the Chumash itself and Parshas Ekev, you find tremendous amount of emphasis of Hashem's concern for the ultimate Gashmias of the land of Eretz Yisrael, where Hashem says right in the beginning of the parasha, Ekev Teshmun Mishpatim Eila Shemart Rasisim Osam, the source of us performing Torah of Mitzvahs and doing what we have to do. It then says, Ahevchen Hashem will show His love, will berachecha, will bless you. Here, will berach bitnecha for you, Admoscha, will first bless you with children. He'll bless you the fruits of the land, the gancha, tadosh, of yitzarecha, all the types of species of dagon, of grains, the concepts of wines, of oils, shkolfecha, ashtosanecha, the flocks that you're going to be bringing up over there, to our promised land. He says also, you'll have the schus, there won't be otkavah kavas, that you'll be able to reproduce, but hentefu, the animals will also be able to reproduce. Hashem will take away all the choli, called Mami Mitzrayim, all the sicknesses will be basically taken away from you, and if that's the case, you'll be able to survive and thrive in Eretz Israel. But the Torah doesn't stop there. On the next group of Pesukim, the Torah then reiterates it. And this is going out to the middle of Devarim. Devarim over here, we're dealing with Periches, Pasuk Vav, Shematis, the Mitzvah, Shem Elokech, left Benochel here also. What's going to happen? Hashem will bring you to an Eretz Tovra, one beautiful land, Eretz Nachlei Mayim, Eretz Tehomas, Yosem Bebitka Bahar. You have springs popping up all over, a lowland, a mountainous land. The famous fruits and grains that Eretz was mashtabeach on, all the different types of grains. And we have also the concept of grapes. And we have the concept of figs, pomegranates. We have the concept of zeisim, of olives. Shema Devash, oil, and honey. All of this will be given to us by living in Eretz Israel. Eretz Yishlo b'maskenis techo b'olechem. There will be no deficiency of bread, a lot of bread. Lo yisefsu kolbo, you'll not be missing anything in Eretz Israel. Eretz Yishavano barzo meritafs of defishes. Eretz Israel will have tremendous resources, natural resources. You need iron, you need copper, brass for the purposes of construction and building. You have plenty of stones, plenty of iron to be able to be gotten in the quarries in Eretz Israel from the mountains. You'll be able to get nechoshes from them, which means we'll be able to find everything you need. Eretz Israel, losefsu kabo, nothing will be missing in Eretz Israel. I said losefsu kabo, but we realize now, we have things we didn't even realize we had before. We He now realized that the oil resources in Eretz Israel that are underground, which are available to us, we just have to figure out how to get it out, a unique type of technique. We didn't know when we came to Eretz Israel there were oil resources there. And now we know the tremendous oil resources, tremendous. We recently found there were resources of natural gas right in the Mediterranean, which is our western border, and therefore belongs to Eretz Israel. Incredible amounts of gas that can be used for our purposes and be used on an economic level as well. Loisefsa kabal, everything you need, you're going to find there. And then he says over here, v'achalte v'savate v'arafte shem elokecha al ares ha-tevish and ha-salach. Hashem will give us the bracha. We'll eat, we'll drink. Anything we possibly need, that Kadosh Baruch will give over to us. And if that's the case, we find over here tremendous physical blessing that Hashem is going to give us all that we need. He says it again at the end of Ekev, in Perek Yudalef, for Nesati Mita'atzachem Be'ito, you'll plenty of rain, Safta Genefta Tadoshi V'Yitzalecha, you'll be able to harvest the grains and the wines and the oils. Sat Esa B'Sol Ha'em Temple Echaltu, there'll be plenty of food for the animal kingdom. So we see over here there are tremendous, tremendous physical brachas mentioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will benefit from being able to live in Eretz Israel. So the first major benefit of Hashlacha Pratis, as mentioned in the Chumash and Parshas Ekev itself, is the concept of the Gashmias, the physical needs and necessities of mankind, of humankind, of Klal Yisrael, will be found within the environment of Eretz Israel itself. Very interesting, very fascinating, very, very explicit. We therefore see over here that Eretz Israel having all of these phenomenon is a simon of bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal tell us, if you look very carefully, that this bracha is given to us with one provision, that we're shomer Torah v'mitzvos. If we're shomer Torah v'mitzvos, Hashem will grant us all the brachas, HaKesuvos b'Torah. He'll give it to us b'revach. We'll have all the brachas I just mentioned because of our willingness to observe his Torah v'mitzvos. He mentions that over and over again in the context of this specific parsha. And you just keep on looking at the psukim, you'll see this mentioned explicitly without a question whatsoever. In fact, what I want to reveal to you what's quite interesting is Chazal said that when it comes to discussing the question of Klal Yisrael, whether we are in a geula mode, a redemption mode, or perhaps, God forbid, because of an asenu, achamurais, we're in what's called a mode of ultimate desolation, depends upon one factor. And what's the factor? The factor is whether we're being shomer Torah v'mitzvos. If Klal Yisrael are involved in shmiras Torah v'mitzvos, then we, in fact, will be zocha to all of the brachas of Gashmias that is mentioned in the Torah. If, God forbid, we don't observe Torah v'mitzvos, Hashem is going to punish us for our not being involved in Torah and Mitzvahs properly, and perhaps doing Averos, and there are some maybe even Averos Chamuros. What's going to happen is we're going to go from the concept of agricultural production and fruitfulness to the concept of Shmam, of total desolation, total destruction of the physical capacity to survive in Eretz Israel, because all the vegetation will be destroyed. Not only will we as Klal Yisrael, who might be going to Galus, be deprived of the vegetation of Eretz Yisrael during our Galus, will be Shmama, but even the non-Jewish world who might try to inherit the land or take over the land on our absence will find the land in a state of Shmama, of desolation as well. They won't be able to survive there. They won't be able to develop the land. So an important concept, which the Ramban says in Kodesh over and over again, that Geula is related to Eretz Yisrael being an Eretz Zavascha Lavudavash. When it comes to the concept and the Yisod of Golos, Shemama of Eretz Yisrael is a simon of, unfortunately, our Golos mode. for Hashem's divine reasons, everything has to become Shmama. And for that reason, the Gemara then says in Masechtis Sanhedrin and Daf Tzadiches Amed Aleph, that if you want to know what the Simin Muvak and the guaranteed Simin we have, when it comes, ultimately speaking, to the Gula of Klal Yisrael and redemption taking place, where you're going, when you're in a state of Golos, you look for one factor. Is Eretz Zo going from Shmoma back to being an Eretz Zavas Chalavu Davash? If you see Eretz Zo once again being fruitful and being Eretz Zavas Chalavu Davash, trees in the ground are producing the fruits and vegetables and foodstuffs we need to survive. You see the Paroyin of Klal of Eretz Israel, the fruitfulness of Eretz Israel. The Gemara tells us, Rashi comments, this is a Simen Muvak. This is a defined, definite Simen, that the Gula Mo'ot has begun again. Redemption is near because of these specific qualities. And as a result of that, the Gula process has been granted and been reinstated again. Once again, based upon the fact that Eretz is once again Eretz Zavas Chalavu Davash, according to the Vilna Gaon, this already began slowly in the 1700s. It continued more intensely in the 1800s, as the Netziv points out in his Ksovim on the topic. We come to the 1900s, it continued even more intensely. And finally, slowly but surely, as the Jews, because of the Balfour Declaration and the League of Nations Declaration, and all of them because of the vote of the UN, we were able to miraculously come back to Eretz Israel at that point in time, and the vegetative capacity of this Eretz Israel started to become incredibly, incredibly, fabulously developed, and became a major, major import-export area when it comes to the concepts of vegetables or fruits from Eretz Israel. You saw the fruitfulness of Eretz Israel once again in return, one of the simen of Geulos, according to the Halashin of the Chafetz Chaim, what he called was the Ikf of the Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach are around the corner. And for over 75 years, we've seen how slowly but surely Eretz Yisrael has developed, become not only agricultural metropolis of the world, but it's become a technological metropolis. All the chachmas of the Bria, scientific world, of the medical world, technological world, all of this has developed in Eretz Yisrael, giving us incredible abilities to shower bracha and blessing on the rest of the world because of all the chachma that we were able to obtain and figure out how to use the world we live in the most constructive way possible for the existence of mankind. Kimitzin takes it to Hashem Yerushalayim L'chasam Sefer says this refers to all the brachas Eretz Yisrael is able to export, not only when we're coming to the Torah, which is a very important commodity Eretz Yisrael, and Ketari Ketaris Eretz Israel, but even on the physiological level, on the scientific technological level, Eretz has become the makor, the source of world technology and world bracha, where not only Eretz Israel benefits from it, but as Rashi says in the Chumash, the rest of the world will also benefit from the bracha in Eretz Israel and become beneficiaries of this specific phenomenon as well.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.com.
So we see over here that when it comes to the concept and the yisod of Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis, we suffer dealt in the shir with the physiological ramifications. But I now want to go to the next, what I would call even the more important part, and that is, what's the real reason, ultimately, of the intense Hashgacha Pratis of Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo for the beginning year of the end of the year? So here, once again, the Ramban, Nachmanides, and his Perish the Chumash and his other Chiburim goes out of his way to explain what this means on a ruchnius, on a spiritual level. And he says the following. We know for a fact that Chazal say that Avir Deres HaMachim, the environment of Eretz Yisrael, makes a person have the capacity to be smarter, to be able to penetrate the veils of Chacham and understand them on a higher level, especially when the Chacham we're dealing with referring to is the Chacham of Torah, the depths of Torah knowledge and understanding of Nista, Venigla, Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebapeh, and that Ratzro, you're able to succeed and be matzliach in your learning Torah on a higher level, deeper level, a more meaningful level. According to Chazal, the Hashgacha Protev of God Himself being involved in Eretz Yisrael, what does that mean? So Hashgacha Protev, as the Rambam explains, Barichus and Perik Yitches, Pasuk Chafei and Sefer Vayikra, is that where the rest of the land tracks on the planet Earth are all under God's divine bond supervision, but there are Malachim and other entities Hashem created to be the conduits of Hashem's bracha to all the other parts of the earth upon which people live. The only land tract that has a direct Hashgacha Protev, a divine providence supervising it continuously, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bichvado Biatzmo, by Hashem himself, without any agencies of angels or any other entities coming to be the resource that brings the bracha to us, Hashem takes a personal concern on the divine level to watch and take care and have Klal Yisrael be able to have God's divine personal help on the highest level possible, because it's by Him exclusively. Hashem alone, as the Ramban says. The place that this happens is exclusively in Eretz Yisrael. And not only physiologically, as I just described, but on a spiritual level, Hashem makes sure that our spirituality can grow in Eretz Yisrael on levels that perhaps can't be reached in Chutz Laretz. As I'll have expressions, Ein Torah Kutari Eretz Yisrael, Avidu Eretz Yisrael Machkim. So when it comes to dealing with this on a deeper level, if you think about it for a couple of minutes, the purpose of Torah over Mitzvos is to allow us to connect and develop a dekas, a kesha between ourselves and our Kaddish Baruch Hu. The concept of mitzvahs is to give us the ability to raise our sanctity level. We always say before we do mitzvahs, Hashem Kiddushanim mitzvahs, the mitzvahs are mekaddish us, to give us higher sanctification by performing the Tayag mitzvahs, etc., etc. Also, another major purpose of Torah and power in Eretz Yisrael is to be able to shape our personality and make us true B'nai Torah, B'nos Torah. People have a special spiritual sensitivity to appreciate the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, appreciate the Torah of Mitzvos, and appreciate the Hashem's divine presence over there. Chazal tell us, on a spiritual level, there's no place like Eretz Yisrael to achieve all of these achievements in connection to Hashem, in sanctification of oneself, elevating your personality to be a stricter and more intense Torah personality in all that you do, in your midos, the way you act, the way you conduct yourself. And what's fascinating, the Ramban says, this doesn't only apply to mitzvahs that please Eretz, so mitzvahs that only can be done in Eretz Israel, but even mitzvahs that please beguf, mitzvahs that we are able to do universally, no matter where we live on the face of this planet, like tefillin, for instance. He says explicitly, putting on a pair of tefillin in Eretz Yisrael cannot be compared in its ability to connect us to Hashem and sanctify us and impact upon your personality. What you accomplish of putting on a tefillin in Eretz Yisrael is 1,000 times more powerful than putting on the same pair of tefillin when you do it in Chutz Laretz. Is an intensification of the mitzvah's capacity to impact upon you. The Ikar Makom for Asiyas Torah v'Mitzvos on the maximum level is within the environment of Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban spends a lot of time in his Perush Lechem Mishnah, what I mentioned before, in Parashas Achrimos, to explain to you the ramifications of this on every level possible. But I want to emphasize that even Nevuah, prophecy, was ideally only given to be done and to be practiced in Eretz Yisrael on the highest level possible. That's where you have the highest nevuahs, most intense nevuahs taking place in our Tanakh literature. The fact of the matter is, we have Eretz Yisrael as a land track, having Esther Kedushas, 10 different levels of Kedusha, various Yaras, Hamukafos, Choma. All of these places have special Kedusha when it comes to being in the environment of Eretz Yisrael because of Hashem's Hashgacha Protev. This means that over here, Hashem's divine presence, His Shekhinah, is what elevates the environment of Eretz Yisrael into a higher level of sanctification than any other place on the face of this earth. Hashem is Mekadesh, the entire Eretz Yisrael, because of the presence of His divine presence. Especially this impacts upon the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, that Hashem's divine presence there is what gives it the highest level of intensity of Kedusha from any other place on the face of this earth. The pinnacle of Hashem's Kedusha of relating to the world we live in, especially to Eretz Yisrael, is found in Yerushalayim, but even more importantly, in the place of the Mokam HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was the centerpiece, the ultimate center and heart of the Beis HaMikdash, where you had the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Aron HaKodesh, the Kruvim, the Torah Shemiksav, Torah Shilbapah, we had over there the Luchos, all of that, that repository had the Shechinas Hashem in existence on the highest level possibly could imagine. And what the Rambam says in Perek Vav, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, that even if, God forbid, Beis HaMikdash 1 or 2 were destroyed, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash's Mokam does not dissipate. Because since the Kedusha is based upon what? It's based upon Hashem's divine presence, the Shechinah of Hashem. The Rambam uses the expression, Shechinah Eina Betela. Hashem puts His divine presence on the intense level He does in the Mokam HaMikdash Yerushalayim. That Shechinah can never be destroyed. No matter what the Goyim want to do to destroy the physical place of the Beis HaMikdash, or destroy Yerushalayim, Shechinah Eina Betela, Shechinah is there. The Kedusha Rishona, going back to the time of Shlomo's sanctification of the Beis HaMikdash he built, was Kidshul Hashayit to Kidshul HaSalava, was sanctified then, and that Kedusha remains in place to this very day. So the Kedusha's HaMakom is still there. We have the ability to feel that Kedusha's HaMakom on the most intense level we possibly can today, until Mashiach comes, by going and davening at the Kosel Ma'arabi, the western wall that was mamish opposite the place where the Makom of the Mikdash, we had the Kedush HaKedoshim. It's that western wall that people run to daven there each and every day if they possibly can. That is where we have the feeling of the Kedusha Shekhinah on some specific levels. Chazal tell us midrashically, tell us in Kabbalistic literature. That's why the place of the wailing wall, the Kosel Ma'arabi, is such a holy welcome to daven. And we have minyanim can taking place there continuously from people all around the world, realizing if you have to daven to Hashem with intense kavana, and you want to speak to Hashem personally, panim upon Him, the place to do this davening is in Eretz Yisrael, in the Kosel Ma'arabi. And that's why we, when we daven even in Chutz L'Eretz, we always face, no matter where we are, towards Eretz Yisrael, and specifically, hopefully, towards the Makam HaMikdash, to show that ultimately our prayers are geared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to our prayers going ultimately to the Makam HaMikdash that exists today, even though it hasn't been rebuilt yet, and from there to be Oyla to Shemayim. Kabbalistic literature does a great deal in discussing all of this. Chazal call the mountain upon which the Beis HaMikdash was built, Talpios, Tal Shekol Apias Ponim Shah, is the mountain to which the Beis HaMikdash existed, where the Shechinah was established, that all mouths of clocks around the world turn in that direction in order to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily, ongoing basis. So you see over here a tremendous Kedushas HaMakom of not merely God's divine presence as a supervisor, but allowing the intensity of God's divine presence, His Shechinah, to literally be able to be infused into the physical area of Eretz Yisrael in general, and Yerushalayim and Makom HaMikdash even more explicitly. There are all a bunch of halachas that are contained in the Torah, which are ramifications of this specific Kedushas HaMakom. That's why we don't go on the Harabayas today, because until we have the Paraduma once again, and I'm a Tara myself in Tumas Ames, we can go on the physical Makom HaMikdash, close where the Beis HaMikdash used to be and the Mizbeach used to be. That's based upon Hashem's divine Shechina. The Kiddush Shemakim, Hashem's divine presence over there. You have to be very careful and realize that, because that's why many Gedolim don't want us to go even on tours on the perimeters of the Makam HaMikdash, because God forbid, you might end up going in areas that you don't have the permission to go there now, and end up, doing bad things. Even though your kavod is good, but you're going in the wrong place. The Chiv Kavod is going in the Makam HaMikdash today because of the Kiddush Ashin Labatela, as the Pasukim point out in their various Sfarim. What I want to point out to you is that the Zohar says there are three segulas, three unique treasures that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has. Klal Yisrael is the Am Segula, we're called the Segula number one. Torah and its mitzvahs are Segula number two. And Eretz Yisrael is Segula number three. The Rebbeinu Shalefer desired that his Am Segula and learning the Torah HaSegula should take place in the land of Segula in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Zohar concept. That's why Ein Torah Keteres Eretz Yisrael. That's why Torah Yisrael is more powerful, because that's the ultimate place to learn Torah when it comes to connecting ourselves to Hashem, sanctifying ourselves, and ultimately changing our personalities as a result of this Limud HaTorah. That is why, basically, we have a minig in Klal Yisrael today, beautiful minig, that when our kids graduate from high school in America or other places, we then decide to send the boys to yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and the girls to seminaries there, so that these children, before they reach maritable age and ready to start their families, should have the schus to be in Avira de Eretz Yisrael at least for a year or two or maybe more, before they undertake the responsibility of getting married or raising a family and everything that is part and parcel of that specific package. I always call Eretz Yisrael in our generation the finishing school, to give the young men and women a unique perspective of Havanas Torah, understanding the Torah, a greater sensitivity to the meaning of performance of mitzvahs, to give them Torah personalities as B'nai Torah, B'nai Torah. And as a mechanic in education for over almost 50 years, I can give personal testimony that when I saw men and women who were in America first, I learned in Eretz Yisrael for a year or two, maybe even more, when I saw them come back from Eretz Yisrael to America, they were there for Barrios Chadashas, brand new human beings. The spirituality of Eretz Yisrael penetrated their Eivarim, their entire body, their entire thought processes. The Hashkafis were purified. The Hashkafis were uplifted. You were able to see a certain level of the impact of the Shechina, of the Avir of Eretz Yisrael, upon their spiritual sensitivities, how meticulous they are in their mitzvahs, how meticulous they are in their davening, in the Ben Adam Lamakim, the Ben Adam Lechavero. They literally have become changed because of being exposed to that incredible environment. All of this, according to the Ramban, is the spiritual, that we call the ultimate ruchnius reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to live in Eretz Yisrael. And what I want to do, as I finish the shiur today, is go through a list of various concepts the Ramban brings down in the rationales for how he wants to live in Eretz Yisrael, based upon the Ein Hashem Elokecha Bo, based upon the unique Hashgacha Pratius that Hashem exerts upon those who are dwelling and living in Eretz Yisrael, even visiting Eretz Yisrael for a certain period of time, gives the ability to sensitize yourself and uplift yourself by being in its environment. Listen to the six principles over here of the Ramban in his Perush on the Chumash, in his Sefer HaMitzvahs. You'll understand the connection between the Hashgafis HaRamban, that the reason to live in Eretz Yisrael is not just to Mekayem Mitzvah Tlius Bo, but to be involved and exposed to the environment of Hashem's divine presence. So the Ramban first makes the following statement, that even Bizman Hazeh, where the ultimate Geula hasn't been totally fulfilled yet, the Ikfas the Mashiach who began, the beginning of redemption perhaps is in place, but we haven't come to completion yet until the Mashiach comes and all the other promises of Mashiach's Tukufu become fulfilled. What about during the time of the Tekufa of the Ramban, when you didn't have all the greatness we have in Eretz Yisrael today? There was total desolation over there. Nevertheless, the Ramban says the mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah asay, based upon the Pazar Rashi Moros of Yeshaftim Ba, and he says it applies not only to Klal Yisrael as an entire people, it applies to every yochid, every singular member of Klal Yisrael, male and woman, when it comes to their relationship to Eretz Yisrael. If you make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in a period that nobody else is going there or able to go there, as the Ramban did in his Tekufa, Yimekai in the mitzvah say of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which is on a derais level to this very day. The reason given is because the Hashgachas Hashem, that's unique, and the Kedushas HaMakom allows you to do mitzvahs on a higher level, as I mentioned before. It allows you to develop a higher devekas between yourself and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And Shekhinah never tell her, the Shekhinah was never taken away from Eretz, so even when we're in Golus. And therefore, even a Yochid could benefit from this. And this was the very important Shita of the Ramban. The Ramban then goes on and says, because of this, we can't develop in our human existence on the face of this earth an alternative location to come in lieu of Eretz Yisrael. The only place that the place of the Melucha of Eretz Yisrael can take place, where the kingdom can take place, is in Eretz Yisrael, is literally also to establish an alternative to Eretz Yisrael, saying this is our Eretz Yisrael in lieu of Eretz Yisrael itself. That's also for us to ever say and basically even think. The reason is, once again, is Hashem wants us to become a great Kaddosh, Kaddosh and Tiyuki Kaddosh Oni. And the only place in the world we can reach the maximum level of that Kedusha is only in Eretz Yisrael, and the proximate level of seeing Hashem Shechina and feeling it on the highest level. It can't be accomplished in any other place on the face of this earth, no matter how great and Torahdik are many of the Jewish communities in Galus, and how much Torah goes on, everything else. It's not like Eretz Yisrael. We can't say this is in lieu of Eretz Yisrael. Those communities that basically refused to return to Eretz Yisrael, joined by Sheni, who were in Germany, and they said to the Gedolim who told them to come back and rebuild the Bayis Sheni, they told them, we don't have to come back, we have a Torah community here in Germany, and in fact Germany is like our mini Yerushalayim. Hashem did not like what they said. And the proof was in the Crusades, those very cities that said we refuse to return to build by Yesheni because we have Yerushalayim in our area. That's the first place the Crusaders came to destroy and uproot and punish during their Crusade travel to Eretz Yisrael to reclaim the land from the infidels, supposedly, that were living there at that point in time. But the fact of the matter is, Hashem does not want us to be Mayas by Eretz Yisrael. Is the Issa for us to reject Eretz Yisrael and basically treat it, as far as we're concerned, as a place we do not want to be, a place we don't like. In fact, Ramban says this is the word, there's the Issa of the Yomosib Eretz Chemda. He calls that the fate of the Maraglim. It's mentioned twice in Chazal, in the Psukim of the Torah. That's Eretz Hashem Astimba, Yomos Eretz Chemda, Pasuk in Tehillim. Mias Arvis is a tremendous, tremendous chet, shows kafui tov, that Hashem gave us an Eretz of Asvodav Devash, physically and spiritually, we don't want to live there. In fact, the Ramban calls in his Ksavim, Eretz Yisrael, the Paltun Shemelech, the palace of the divine king of Hashem. Chutz L'Eretz is the outside, chutz of the outside courtyard, and therefore, where do you want to be? You want to be in the courtyard of the palace, or in the palace itself, next to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Realize what Eretz Yisrael is. In fact, I once saw that the Akedas Yitzchak, one of the great Gedolim, who was part of the Megurashei Sfarad, who was kicked out of Spain in 1492, Dar Barbanel, he writes that Mias Aretz, the Jews in Spain for hundreds and hundreds of years, a golden era, had one problem. They forgot about Eretz Yisrael. They looked upon Spain as a homeland for themselves. And after all, they had the good and the quiet and the learning and everything else. Aisha recovered. They forgot about returning to Eretz Yisrael. That was when Eretz Chemda was Mias Aretz. And the Megurashei Sfadi claims is because of the fact of the lack of desire to want to return to Eretz Yisrael. Statement made by one of the Gedolei Hadar of the 1400s who lived in Spain and left it because of quite obviously the terrible, terrible Inquisition taking place against the Jewish people. Another concept of the Ramban, you can't leave the land and give the land away to the non-Jewish world. It's not their Marasha. It's not their inheritance and heritage. It's our Marasha. Only two things in the world that are called Marash is the Torah of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. The same way we can't give away our Torah to the Umas Olam that was given to us uniquely, we can't give away Eretz Yisrael that was given to us to any Umas Olam. And it's for two reasons. Number one, it's our Marash Yerush and not theirs. Number two, the Goyim, by definition, unfortunately don't know what it means not to be involved in Averas Chamuras, which literally the history of the world for thousands and thousands of years, to allow an unjew to live amongst us as an Eved of Avodah Zarah, involved in Gil HaRais on the highest level of Shrichas Dam, pollutes the land, contaminates the land, causes endangerment to the land. And that's why the Torah says, Achrimos, he kicked out all the Canaanites because of the three Averas Hamurus that were performed there. The only unjew that can legally live there when we had the power to institute this is a guy who's a Ger Toshav, who had accepted upon himself to observe the Zaymis Bnei Noach, and especially the Isa of Avodah Zarah. This type of non-Jew can obviously can be careful with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and can be allowed to live there. Also, there was a fear if the Goyim would stay in Eretz Yisrael, we would capture Eretz Yisrael, leave pockets of Goyim. Jews who live next to these Goyish cities, who are idolatrous, might learn from their ways and ultimately start to adopt their ways of Avodah Zarah, Goreth, Sheikh Saddam, which unfortunately first said took place during Bayis Rishon, since Klal Yisrael did not perform Hachrim Tachrimim and get rid of all the Goyim that were living in Eretz at the time of Yeshua's capture. Pockets were left. They influenced Jews who lived there during Bayis Rishon, and the three Averus Hamuravs unfortunately were violated because of that, not following Hashem's dictum of getting rid of them or making them become Ger Toshav before allowing them to settle in Eretz Yisrael. As I mentioned before, we can't leave Eretz Yisrael in the state of Shmama. Every part of Eretz Yisrael, every land shack has to be used constructively. If you're not living there, and that's not part of a communal structure, then you have to make sure agriculturally it's developed. Every piece of the land is not in a state of Shmama, but in a state of fertility. And therefore, there's a concept in yourself to make sure that you show through the productivity of the land, working the land, you know, it has special hashkakas Hashem, and makes it a true Eretz of Aschel Levu Tavash. Another factor that the Rebbe Lishon wants us to realize is since we have a mitzvah of loving Hashem, we have to show Hashem our love to Him by having willingness to live in Eretz Yisrael, not only willingness to live in Eretz Yisrael, but willingness to fight Milchemes Mitzvahs to preserve our living in Eretz Yisrael, no matter when we're living in Eretz Yisrael, when we're allowed to return. We have to be ready to make Milchemes Mitzvahs to defend ourselves. Self-defense wars are also Milchemes Mitzvahs. Besides the mitzvah of capturing Eretz, so it took place at the time of Yeshua. All of this has to be done by us to show our love for Hashem, willing to risk our life for the sake of holding on to Eretz in every capacity we possibly can. All of this comes back to the basic concept that Eretz is a land that Hashem is there continuously, on Hashkacha Pratis level, on Shechina level, on Kedusha level, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. What I just want to end up with is one statement mentioned by the Baalei Tosfos and the Ramban when it comes to this mitzvah. But they point out to everybody who made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael and their tikufas, it is true that going to live in Eretz Yisrael is a zchus, is a privilege, according to the Rishonim, it's a mitzvah say. However, they said to their Talmidim, it is a privilege, but you have to understand it's also a tremendous responsibility. Because when you do a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, as I mentioned the Ramban said before, if you do it in a mitzvah or an Aveira, because it's in that very intense spiritual environment, the same way the mitzvah is intensified in its impact in the environment of Eretz Yisrael, doing an Aveira in Eretz Yisrael is also intensified and increases the level of the potential punishment level for violating the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael by doing Averos in Eretz Yisrael as well. It's a responsibility, and if you want to take the privilege, you have to also maintain the responsibility of Shmiras Torah V'Mitzvot. This is a thing that people have to be aware of. It's not just a nice place to tour and to see Jewish history come alive, but it's a place that you can spiritually grow, a place you can intensify your connectivity between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you and your family. So therefore, let us realize that we have the capacity, Tate Baruch Hashem, to connect to Eretz Yisrael levels that we haven't been able to do for thousands of years. There are more men and women learning Torah and Eretz Yisrael today than ever were learning before in Jewish history. Every year more yeshivas open up. Every year more seminaries open up. The population of Eretz Yisrael is exploding, Baruch Hashem, Kein Yirbu. Let's hope and pray that Klal Yisrael will realize the Matana Tov Hashem gave us, Eretz Yisrael as the Jewish homeland, and the Jew spiritual homeland as well, not only national, but spiritual homeland, and be mekav and hope for your most Mashiach Tzidkenu, when all the promises of Geula will take place on every level, physically and spiritually, and we'll come to that tikkuf of spiritual bliss, spiritual peace, we'll be able to live in Eretz Yisrael and spend a lot of time in our spiritual edification and serve as an Or LaGoyim, not only to ourselves, but to the world at large. Shehei b'Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Shana Haba, we should be Yerushalayim HaBanuya, and able to see the building of the Beis HaMikdash with the coming of Mashiach and Kibbutz Galus. Amen v'amen v'amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.